Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 557. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin, and that is an understatement. How about yourself?
Yeah, I will admit that things are a little bit lagging for me in some regards, because I worked all of last week in my office. Many a person that I knew did not. They had already been sent home. Pretty much everyone I knew, actually, except for my office and people that work at hospitals anyway, had pretty much all been sent to work remotely. And then Ohio came down with that old funness on Sunday night. So yeah, this is the first, this is going to be the first full week actually in quarantine stages here. So this, I've heard that it gets better. At least that's what Ken is telling me. Because Ken, I tried to record with Ken last week, but he basically begged off that it was too crazy because they'd been together for 4 days and no one has lived on top of them like that.
Right.
You know, so these are the challenges of recording. I mean, it's still even hard to quantify, honestly, the wrestling. Like, wrestling is one of the few things that's filling some time. But even that, a lot of the WWE programming is still basically a best of kind of format, with a few segments thrown in here and there. The only one that I had on my mind is AIW, or AEW, I should say. I watched that show in just amazement at how many people they had in almost every match. I'm like, what are you people doing?
Yeah,
the Lance Archer thing, I don't know. They could have filmed that weeks ago.
I venture to guess they, I think it was said that they actually did film it. They actually filmed it on Matt Hardy's property. If that area of land looked familiar. I believe Jericho and Matt Hardy on Talk Is Jericho last week. I didn't listen to it, but I think that was one thing that, that was one tidbit that I read somewhere that, yeah, that vignette was shot on the Hardy compound.
Oh, okay, yeah, I did not. there have been more pressing matters than a Matt Hardy podcast. In the meantime, but yeah, I mean, I guess he's as good a talking point as any from AEW. Like I was amused when Dan got a little uppity with me, our good buddy Dan Keister, when I mentioned AEW bringing in a bunch of WWE guys. Because, I don't know that, honestly, I would count Brody Lee as a WWE guy. Like, just in regards to, like, he basically had two good runs with Rowan as tag champions, because they won it twice, didn't they?
Yeah, I believe they did, or they may not have. They may not. I don't believe they did win the tag team championships during the first Wyatt family run. Only during the Bludgeon Brothers run.
Oh, yeah, you could be right.
I think they only challenged for the tag titles multiple times, but never won them.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, well, you guys just kind of killed the Wyatts at the time, now that we're talking over it a little bit more. So yeah, they probably did only win it the once. And honestly, arguably, you could say the run that they had without the belts was the better of the two. Because I feel like that was the initial ones where the Usos really started to come. And that was kind of their problem, is the Usos had just kind of really come out of their shell, I feel like, around that time frame. And New Day was starting their thing right around that time. And, yeah, unfortunately, the Wyatt family lost because those two acts got over so well.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point.
Or at least that's my counter argument to my argument. yeah, holy crap. And we were talking somehow, I don't know how I veered that off from Matt Hardy discussion, and filming on his property to that stuff. I hope everyone else kept up.
We'll just blame Dan Kuster.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a different thing. Like, I just made the comment to be a smartass for the most part. It wasn't one of those things that I completely believe, because he answered correctly. Like, it's how you use them will determine what happens. I mean, I do think that unless it's been all injury related, I'm going to throw it out there that they might have a little buyer's remorse on Sean Spears.
Oh, it's a waste of a guy who has a wrestling legend for a manager. You know, I think Tully Blanchard would be better off with a number of different acts. Yeah, you know, Sean Spears is just—he's the walking definition of average. There's really nothing special about the guy.
Yeah, and I mean, John Moxley has done a good job there. I feel like I've definitely gotten a better idea, just because I hadn't seen Pac on the indies at all. That was definitely one that I kind of got into his character because of AEW, like, yeah, or at least I understand his motivations.
Yeah, they did a good job with him, you know, on TV for months, with being with Hangman Page and of course Kenny Omega. They did a lot with him. They were just starting getting him into a faction with the Lucha Brothers, a faction with the Lucha Brothers that seemingly has come to a screeching halt, because it seems as if he's stuck in England for who knows how long.
Oh,
he
hasn't
been on the show for the last 2 weeks, so.
I guess I did not, for some reason, see that news. I should have paid attention that he was not on there.
I don't know if anyone's really made mention to it, but he has not been on TV since they ran the initial angle that brought the three of them together, which is odd because obviously that was supposed to be a big deal. So I'm operating under an assumption that he's stuck in jolly old England.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty safe assumption. I'm going to throw that out there, because I do remember at some point I saw on Twitter that Sheamus is like, what the hell do I do? Because he must have been on his normal, which was to me kind of funny, sabbatical from the WWE and over in Ireland. And I'm like, dude, you've been off for like the last 3 years. Like,
I think that was a promotional tour.
Oh, okay.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, then I don't blame him for making those comments then.
No. He's... Yeah, that, but, you know, but that's the things that can happen, since AEW seems to be, you know, bringing flying multiple talents overseas who they want to use as regulars, but aren't making the commitment to, sponsoring their visa paperwork so that they can live here permanently, or make the or make it worth their while to move over here financially. That's just me. That's just me speculating, because, like, you know, got Pac, all the Japanese ladies. Rotating cast of Japanese ladies.
Man, as much as they use Hikaru Shida, you would think that she's over here full time.
I believe she might be one of the ones who is.
Yeah, because Riho definitely isn't, because she's on like every third show, it would seem like. And yeah, that is probably not helping their women's division either when they don't have any consistency. Well, and what's her name? Is it Bea Priestley lives in Japan? Like, she moved to Japan?
I believe that is the case, yes. But I think she's over here. I think she... Because she was definitely... She was on last week's show.
Yeah, she's been on... I feel like they've had her on TV more just in general recently.
Yeah.
Because she kind of popped up like the first week or something, or a couple of weeks into it, and I felt like I didn't really see her after that for a while. She could have been on Dark for all I know. But I haven't checked anything as far as Dark results go. But yeah, she's been on the main piece of TV a little bit more frequently recently. But, yeah, I mean, not consistently having people,
yeah.
Well, is one of many problems with their women's right. division.
But to get this back to our original subject, Mr. Matthew Hardy.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he was just not looking good in this last year. Particularly without Jeff. I mean, he was moving incredibly gingerly, basically bow-legged. It was becoming painful to watch him walk. I feel like he should have taken a creative or backstage producer role in WWE and retired in-ring. But that is not what he wanted to do. And AEW has signed him to be a wrestler, and he is banking that he can still make something out of the broken gimmick from 2000 that first hit the scene 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And they mined the hell out of it during the Impact run.
Well, and I mean, he even kind of kept up the content a little bit while he was in the WWE, just kind of on his own.
Yes, he did do that.
It's
not something that I particularly sought out to watch, because I think, unless there's a new spin they can put on it, I'm kind of over it.
I definitely saw that being over it take out there, and I was just like, well, the one thing is that his return, more so than Brody Lee's, it needed some fanfare.
Yes, it did. He was just doing these over-exaggerated facial expressions and bodily gestures that trying to do the delete chant without a crowd. It was pretty cringeworthy. I gotta be honest.
Well, that's kind of been a problem in general. With all of these shows, is that people are still playing to the crowd or being extra stupid and saying, oh, I can't hear you, or something like that. It's just like, oh my God. And that's happened on both programs. Like, this is not program specific. Because, I did laugh, Jeff Hardy had a very similar return on SmackDown. You know, no fans, nothing. Like, you know, he's a huge deal and nothing, you know, like you kind of feel bad for, you understand why, like you're not going to hold on to Matt Hardy, I guess. And I guess that's the only thing that maybe, just because it's going to be on AEW, like, I did not search out his free the delete stuff that he was especially doing more consistently right before he left the WWE. Like, I'm with you. Like, I didn't really search it out at all. If it's on TV, there's a possibility that I'll like it. But I definitely would not be surprised. Like you said, like, I kind of realize how long this thing's been going on. And it's just like, holy shit snacks. This has been going on, like you said, 4 years. Like, that's a long time for any gimmick.
And yeah, especially one like that. I mean, and you know what? It was an impact that was falling on its ass, that had nothing else going for it, that was in the process of the long, long process that we covered here ad nauseum, and actually, you know, and frankly, did some of our finest episodes, you know, covering the what could have been the death of TNA, might have been the day, maybe should have been the death of Impact, and before the Anthem purchase, and you know. So it was just, it was the definition of just throwing shit at the wall and seeing if it sticks. I mean, it really is what it was, and it took off, and they did, you know, a number of, they did some great stuff with it. It was for its time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that I can be somewhat hopeful of, is that I mean, he never really did the full gimmick in the WWE. And I guess I am kind of banking on his creativity, but it's another one of those things where he smartly did not wrestle really in the broken gimmick, or at least he wrestled in very odd circumstances and barely ever in the ring.
Right.
Which was probably for the best, to cover up what you were talking about. Like, he, yeah. His body is not surprisingly, has not reacted well to the beatings that wrestling brings to it.
No, it really has not. I mean, once again, he did some really entertaining stuff with the broken gimmick. The beginnings of the Hardys' WWE return, you know, they were keeping up pretty well, and but there was obviously a shelf life there.
Oh,
and then of course all Jeff not being able to stay out of trouble, and Matt trying to make the then Woken gimmick work in WWE when he didn't have very much. Obviously did not have much support at the top with it, so that really didn't work. And once again, if you'd seen it in Impact, you'd already seen it, and everyone else was just confused.
Yeah. Well, in AEW, he's gonna have a similar problem that he has in WWE, where, like, TNA, you could see it kind of fitting into the fabric of their show. Like, his kind of weird stuff doesn't kind of fit with, like, the more, you know, I think you've mentioned it a couple of times, that Cody Rhodes definitely leans on more Southern wrestling tropes than Vince McMahon may do.
Right.
And it, you know, it doesn't fit in with their vision any better than it fit in with Vince's vision. Like, because they're trying to make it feel more real, you know, with putting up the records and things of that nature. And yeah, like, it's going to be a weird gimmick to run in there. Like, TNA, well, and I was about ready to call it TNA, But Impact is still running crazy angles with, like, Rosemary and...
Oh, yeah.
And those other people. So they've kind of just left it in their show the whole time.
Oh, yeah. They completely copied the framework of the broken segments that aired on their show. I mean, that is absolutely true. I mean, they have had what? Have they actually killed off two or three characters before they left the company?
Yes. Yes, they have.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, they've made it a part of their show. Does it really fit into AEW? But right now, does it really fit into AEW? But right now, trying to fill these weeks and weeks of TV commitments, especially since they don't have the gigantic library of past wrestling matches that WWE has at their disposal to help them get through this time period. Maybe you do shows from the Hardy compound. Oh. And that's a way to try to ride this quarantine period.
Yeah. I mean, they're in an extra weird spot. Like, they really filled this past week's show with just a lot of wrestling in general.
They did, yeah.
I felt like
WWE, definitely more than WWE has done. They added the element of, you know, the everyone not on the card, you know, in the audience, acting as the audience. You know, just almost ridiculously, almost you know, just you know, throwing money away, having pyro during the course of the show. It definitely made for a more enjoyable experience for the viewer. But the whole point of this whole thing is supposed to be, you know, social distancing and protecting the elderly, and then there's Jake the Snake Roberts standing between two people with, you know, shoulder to shoulder with people. Yeah, Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone, you know, shoulder to shoulder with each other in Excalibur over at the announce booth. WWE at least had the good sense to not send Jerry Lawler to this week of Performance Center tapings.
And there were still, like, almost everyone was kind of like, I think Shahid was the one that threw the idea out last week of having the unused wrestlers in the crowd. Like, that venue that AEW taped in, like, they had enough room to spread out more than they were. And it would have, and the gimmick would have worked the same. Like, I'm like, just kind of split up a little bit. Like, this is working. Like, I do like that idea a bit more, especially if you're going to use, because I mean, that seemed like a decent size. Where did they record? Like, I guess
it
I did.
It was the Daly's place in Jacksonville. Like, the Khan family owns the building. It also, I think, doubles as the Jaguars practice facility.
Oh, okay.
But they also do host events there, and they did host the, what was that? The, before they were on television, before All Out.
Oh, Fight for the Fallen?
Yeah, Fight for the Fallen back in July. That was that building. Because it didn't look like that building, it may have been maybe an adjacent theater or something. But I do believe it was much like what WWE is doing. They did do the show on property they own.
I guess I would imagine that they're going to continue to emanate from there then.
It's harder to get kicked out of a property you own, yes.
But yeah, I could have used that. Well, and like I said, kind of way back when we were starting this show, like, I was like, why do you have to have so many multi-person matches? Like, the hell are you people doing? Like, if anything, just do some singles matches. Like, why is there anything more than a tag match happening here? Like, they don't, they didn't, they haven't established six-man tag belts, have they?
No, they have not. That's been talked about, but is not in the, it's not in the current plans, and obviously they're not going to, you know, they're not going to introduce new belts now.
No, but I mean, they basically had some six-person or more matches, and I'm like...
Yes, they did.
It's just like, what the, huh? Like, are you guys drunk? Why are you having this many people in match? You know, like, it's okay if they want to make that a priority. Like, it definitely seems like... I'm still not that big of a fan of the whole six-man situation. But, I mean, ROH seems to be sticking with it. And does New Japan have six-man belts?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, so, I mean, it definitely seems like a popular thing. Like, even if I'm not that fond of it. So I can kind of understand wanting to do it, but it's just like, this is one of those times that you can kind of drop that gimmick and no one's going to really argue with you.
But, no, but, you know, AEW has, you know, has established themselves that they're the place for, tag team wrestling. They do, that is...
Oh, well.
That is definitely a category that they have superiority over WWE with. And they have, you know, multiple tag team matches per show. They have, in many episodes, there's more tag matches than singles matches. And that was the case again on last Wednesday, when maybe it wasn't the most advisable.
Yeah. Yep, but, you know, we'll see, I suppose. But, like you said, it was a thing where it was far more entertaining than anything the WWE's done. But if you're just looking at it from a quarantine perspective, the WWE has done a far superior job of producing some level of content. While still at least trying to move along some storylines to WrestleMania.
Yeah, but, I mean, WWE is putting on shows with very little actual original wrestling from the Performance Center venue. Of course, WrestleMania will be all matches coming from the Performance Center and other locations. So, that, you know, that'll definitely be a lot more wrestling... content on those two nights of shows. Understandable, since everything is being taped in advance, just to get them through to April. And understanding why Raw last night only featured three squash matches and no long competitive matches or any situation where, you know, stars were against each other or in each other's, or even really in each other's physical space throughout the entire show.
Yeah, I mean, because Brock got to come out without Drew McIntyre coming out.
Yep.
And...
Yeah. All promos were uninterrupted.
Oh.
Other than Becky and Shayna.
Yeah, but even in that situation, it was over some type of call-in, video-in system.
Well, no. Oh. Shayna and Charlie Caruso were doing an interview in the ring.
Oh.
That, and then Becky hit Shayna with a chair.
Oh, yeah. But that's still only three people.
Yeah. No. I mean, so. No, WWE is trying to be very, because, I mean, they're taping WrestleMania this week. So, you know, the next... You know, this episode of Raw, and then the next two episodes of SmackDown are probably going to feature the same format. You know, first of all, you don't want anyone to get hurt before they tape WrestleMania. Second of all, you don't want anyone to get sick before they tape WrestleMania.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh, did you hear this one? That the Orange County in Florida is issuing their own stay-at-home order, but it doesn't go into effect until Thursday at 11 p.m. Very convenient for WWE getting all their taping finished. I'm sure that's coincidence, and not any kind of a payola job.
Oh man,
that's an oddly specific time. Thursday at 11 p.m. Over 48 hours away, still.
Yeah, I don't know why you just don't go with the 11:59 p.m. and give them an extra 59 minutes to work if they need to cram something in.
That's true too. If they're running behind.
Yeah, just if it's like South Park where they're always getting it in later than Comedy Central wants them to, and there's like a literal countdown to getting it on air.
Oh my God. The police barge in and stop right in the middle of Lesnar versus McIntyre.
And that gave me memories of waiting for campus security to come through the architecture studio to boot us out at 3 a.m.
Well, the one thing about Brock Lesnar is after this is all over, he will have no problem self-quarantining for 2 weeks when he gets back home. He was built for this.
He does not have any problems with the whole self-quarantine thing. He seems completely fine not dealing with people. And like you said, he's ready for it. We'll find out if we're ready for it. If the wife and I are ready for it.
I'm going to need, I have no alcohol at the house because I don't typically drink alone. Usually only socially, but I'm probably going to have to break that and get me some beer before next Saturday and Sunday.
And I mean, I guess that's something that can lead into the whole, I am just cleaning out what beverages I do have right now before. There are multiple places, either you can place a to-go order, or they are delivering beer here in Columbus. So, the one that I'm getting through currently is Columbus Brewing Company Citra Noel, which is a spiced, I think it's a winter warmer. Yeah, happy holiday ale. So, however you want to word that, I'm fine with winter warmer. It's kind of one of those spicy beers that is not dark, and I do enjoy quite a bit. So yeah, I'm slowly getting through, and I'm actually trying to use the time not to drink that much. I'm trying intentionally, honestly, not to order, to maybe have a couple of less Belltime beers in the meantime. Because I'll tell you what, it was one of those things I haven't really realized how much of the beer I drink is out at a brewery. And it's probably maybe about 67%. About 2/3 of my beers, I would say, are probably out and about.
And they're not available at your local grocery store or liquor store?
Well, I usually go for the extra seasonal stuff. So those aren't normally stocked in the grocery store. Some of the I would say maybe about half of the brewing companies in Columbus have some type of product in the grocery stores, so I can get it there too. But sometimes when you order it through the brewery, you might be able to get an extra flavor that you couldn't get out at the grocery store.
Gotcha. No, I get that.
So, yeah, that will probably be on the docket for doing at some point, especially if our roommate Kevin, his family still lives in China, and he said that his parents just got out of quarantine. It was like a 5-week period because things were finally getting good enough. So he's like, yeah, this is probably going to last more than 2 weeks. I'm like, oof, that's a long time. So yeah, and I guess it'll be interesting to see what the WWE has to do after this whole, like, if they have a stay at home and they've recorded WrestleMania and everything for Raw and SmackDown for the next couple of weeks. What do they do after WrestleMania if things have not not changed?
That's a good question. I believe the new Orange County, Orlando area, you know, stay at home ordinance and and curfews are in effect until at least April 9th. So that would put them the week of, let's see, WrestleMania is the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. They could potentially do SmackDown Live that week if it's fully lifted. And there's not greater lockdowns in place. But who knows? Who knows what they'll be allowed to do or how much they actually got we'll get through filming by the end of by Thursday.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess that is the other thing, considering the way that they've been filling their shows, they really could film ahead of WrestleMania by Thursday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the plan has been to, get, well, that by tonight, they should have every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT they need to get them through. I just don't know how far into post-WrestleMania they'll be able to get, if at all.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, if they hustle, they might be able to do some. But, yeah. And I would imagine that even though it's a different county, that Jacksonville might end up having a similar problem, I would assume, since they're in the same state.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I mean, they're doing this for citizens and residents, but there's been no attempt to close interstate travel or even ground airplanes yet. So, maybe the Khan family is connected. I would venture to guess the Khan family is very, very connected in Jacksonville. if they need to sneak something on. In.
Yeah. It'll definitely be interesting. I mean, is there anything else really to cover before we mosey on out of here? Because yeah, there isn't that much content to cover. Like, one show is gonna do it. I feel like.
I mean, next week. I guess we can. Next week we can. Preview WrestleMania, and then the week after, review it. And then we don't know what new wrestling content is going to continue from there.
Yeah. For your weekly mental health check-in, this is at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.